it may or may not fly in the face of two different things. Number one, the American justice system, which, you know, you basically, you know, the old idea, the old adage of a lawyer, you ever heard the term, I'm sure, a lawyer who represents himself has a fool for a client, right? That's they say that even if you're a chush of a lawyer and you're on trial or you're suing somebody or whatever, you shouldn't represent yourself, right? So kal v'chomer, a regular baldin, or a regular defendant at least, a nitba, or someone who's a defendant on trial for a crime that he may have committed. So certainly he should never represent himself. He should have somebody representing him. He shouldn't get involved with trying to speak on his own behalf. But this doesn't seem to be what we find, you know, in a Beis Din. So that's point number one. Is it's questionable in light of the way we may have grown up viewing the way courts are supposed to conduct themselves. And it's even more interesting in light of the way that if a person, and I have to be completely honest here, I have never attended any Beis Din proceedings. I have never been on the inside of a Beis Din doing anything. Now, nowadays, they really use Batei Din for two things. They use Batei Din for Dinei Mamonos, and much more unfortunately, they use Batei Din for Seder Gittin. That's the main function of most Batei Din, is they just get factories. With the breakdown of the Jewish family these days, there are many, many, many more divorces than there have ever been before. And the Batei Din are in charge of being Masader Gittin. So that's what a lot of Israeli Batei Din spend time doing, a lot of American Batei Din spend time doing. And but there's also obviously being done Dinei Mamonos. Now, you probably also know that nowadays, what are Batei Din allowed to be done? Right, only a fraction, and within what we call Dinei Mamonos, not everything that would normally be considered, not everything that's found in Seder Nezikin. Right, it's not all of Seder Nezikin; it's only a small fraction of Seder Nezikin, in because they can't be done what? Dinei can't be done Dinei Knasos because they don't have smicha, right? So they don't have smicha; they can't be done Dinei Knasos, and they're only really what would be called by the Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin. They can only really be done hodos v'alvos, right? So it's really a smaller piece of the pie of what they were originally intended to do. Obviously, you have a Beis Din of three, which was supposed to be done all of Dinei Mamonos, including Dinei Knasos. Then you have a Beis Din of 23, which was supposed to be done Dinei Nefashos and the like. And then you also had a Sanhedrin of 71, which was done certain major cases, and you know, would come out with certain important Piskei Halacha for all of Klal Yisrael, and there'd be Ma'aber the Chodesh and the Shana and whatever. But that, unfortunately, we really only have a tiny fraction of what Batei Din are supposed to do. So if you would go, and again, I don't claim to have seen this firsthand, anything I tell you over the course of this topic should not be taken as definitely being true. It's all secondhand knowledge that I've heard from people who have seen. But nowadays, if you go to, I'm not going to suggest that this is what happens in Israel, because I don't know, but if you go to the average American Beis Din, of which there are many unofficial Batei Din, and then there are some official Batei Din, if you go to the average American Beis Din, you will find the same thing that you find in a secular court. You will find that people are represented by lawyers. That they don't necessarily speak to the Dayanim the way you would think if you just learned Gemara. They speak to the Dayanim, or they're advised, etc., by people they call themselves Toanim, and they I'm not sure exactly what they do, and I think it also, as we'll see, it's questionable what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do, and so let's sort of get into how this comes up for our purposes. As a side point, we were discussing the psul edus leisha, and the Gemara discusses how do we know that an isha is psul edus to tana rabbanava amdu shnei ho'anashim, right? The two men stand. So pashup shot in the chumash Sounds like that's referring to the... Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You are correct. Sorry, I was going to say the opposite. Right? So Pajib Shad and Chumash sounds like it's talking about the Bali Din. Yeah. Right? Because as Amdu Shnei Anashim, Ashalahem Ariv. Right? They're the guys who have the debate. They're the guys who have the argument. And so says the Brisa Be'edim HaKasav Medaber. No, that's not talking about the Bali Din. That's talking about the Edim. Bali Din. Maybe it's really talking about the litigants, like you would have thought. Kishu Omer, Asher Lahem Hariv, Arei Bali Dinin Omer. No, the Hemshech of the Pasuk is, that's talking about the Bali Din. Ha'amani Makayim V'amdu Shnei Anashim Be'edim HaKasim Medaber. Then it's Im Nafshech Lomar. If that's not good enough for you, you want a second source. Nemar Kan. Shnei, v'nemal alon, shnei, mal alon, be'edim, afkan, be'edim. Okay, then they go through, what is the im nafsheich lomer? What is the problem that you might have been able to poke a hole in the first understanding of the pasuk? Meaning, why would you not have thought that that's good enough? V'amdu shnei anashim, that's talking about one category, and Asher Lehem Ariv is talking about a second category. What's wrong with that? So Gemara makes a number of proposals, and one of the proposals is where are we here? Right, so he says, Tanya Idach, V'amdu shnei anashim be'edim ha'kasa medaber ata omer be'edim o'enu ela bevali dinin, amrit v'chi anashim, Ba'u ledin, nashim ein ba'os ledin. Why? Because what would I have told you? That only men come to court, meaning anashim is lafuke nashim. So what are you talking about? You can have a female litigant as well. You can have a woman suing a man. You can have a woman suing a woman. You can have a woman being sued by a man. So what are you talking about? That it's only anashim and not nashim. So v'im nafshich lomar, and if you don't like that, so nemar kan shnei, or nemar shnei, etc. That's both talking about edim. So what's the v'im nafshich lomar in that case? V'chi tema isha lav urcha. If you want to tell me that, no, the reason it says anashim is not to teach you anything. Or that's already maybe not the partial reading of the Gemara, but let's just go with it for now. Right? If you want to say that the reason it says anashim is that it's not normal for women to come to Beis Din Mishum Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Penima, because of the pasuk that tells us that the glory of a woman is on the inside, and therefore women try to stay out of line of sight. They try to stay out of the limelight. So maybe they don't want to come to Din. Not that you're supposed to be medayik anything from the pasuk. It's just saying the Torah is telling you, you know, Divra Kasuv Behove. Right, so a lot of times we say Lo Sevashel Gadiba Chalevi Mo. So I don't remember who once pointed this out to me. They say, you know, I don't understand why the rabbis invented this Isser Basa B'Cholav. And I said, I'm pretty sure it's a Din de Oraisa. So he said, no, it's a Din de Rabbanan, because mid de Oraisa, you're only not allowed to cook a goat in its own mother's milk. The rabbis then extended that to every other case. Right, so it doesn't apply to cows. It doesn't apply to, you know, non-children of that particular animal that was milked. That was all midrabanan. So the Gemara disagrees with this guy's taina, and the Gemara says that no. Why is it? It says gedi is lav dafka. It's not specifically a goat. Rather, it's talking about any behemah tahora. Right, any behemah tahora is included in the concept of gedi. And in addition, it's imo lav dafka. So why do we use gedi and why do we use imo? Ela shediber akasav behove. That the Torah says the normal cases that would come up. If you owned a farm in biblical times, or even way after biblical times, where did you get your milk from? So interesting thing number one, you got your milk mostly from goats, not from cows. I don't know when they switched over to cows being the ikker. But cows definitely are the ikker b'zmanazeh. But I don't know at what point they switched over. So they used to use goats more than they use cows for milk. And number two, why are we able to get milk from cows all the time? Right? When does it, you know? Let's use humans as an example. Since humans nurse their children, at what point in time? Right? Only when they have a baby. Only when they nurse. They're not nursing constantly. They're not nursing constantly. So too, back in the day, in a farm, the cows and the goats weren't nursing constantly. They nursed when they had a baby. So what? Where did you get your milk from? You waited for one of your goats to have a baby, and then you're like, all right, milk time. And you know, if you had a lot of goats, maybe they had, you know, lots of babies from time to time, but you always were able to get milk from somewhere. So you actually were going to the goat that had a baby, and the baby was nursing from the goat, and that's where you get your milk. So that's what it means. Dibra kasa behova. That's where they used to get their milk from. So it was just the Torah talking about the standard case, not trying to limit it to that particular thing. Now obviously it's hard to know. It's hard to know when the Torah is talking about just the standard metzias versus when the Torah is trying to teach you something and be mamayit. And I don't claim to know how to tell the difference. That's why, you know, you have to really have emunas chachamim to say that Chazal understood when the Torah was trying to teach you something versus when the Torah was just trying to tell you the metzias. You know, and in that case, the Torah was trying to tell you the metzias. Dibra kasavahovah, that it's gedilav dafka, that's just what they used to milk in those days, but it's any behema tahora. What's lafuke what? What does the gedi come to exclude? What is halacha l'maisa? What does gedi come to exclude? What? No, not so fast. That's a big discussion, right? That's the dog food shiloh. Right? You know what I mean by that? Are you allowed to feed your dog the non-kosher dog food? Because the non... What?
Non-kosher.
Right, so it's non-kosher animals for sure are excluded from the parsha of Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. But what about even in the realm of kosher? It's excluding birds, which don't have milk, right? And it's excluding, according to Halacha L'maisa, not all the Tanoim agree with this, but the we paskin, it's excluding chaya as well. It's excluding, let's say, you have deer. And I assume it's a scientific fact that all mammals have milk. I think so. I think it's one of the things that makes them mammals. I think all mammals have milk. At least, you know, one of the parents nurses, can nurse. So I believe deer and all, you know, the various other kosher chayos, right? Giraffes, if you know. Whatever, so there are more, you know, kosher chayas than we're aware of, but any kosher chaya technically would be in the same level as chicken or turkey or other bird meat when it comes to basar v'chalav. So if you had, sometimes you go to a fancy restaurant, you can get venison, you can get deer meat, so technically that's only fleishik mid the rabbanon. It's not really fleishik min haTorah. There aren't really too many nafkaminas, if any. But nevertheless, but when it comes to basar chaya v'of, that is only mid the rabbanon. Whereas basar behema is mid oraisa, and basar behema temeya, there's nothing to talk about in the first place. Right, so you'll say, oh good, now I can eat basar behema temeya with milk. Doesn't really work that way because it's still not kosher, but it makes a big nafkamina for the dog food shiloh. Meaning, sometimes you'll have dog food that's made out of horse meat, and it has horse milk, or it has cow milk, or whatever, and that's okay. Because it's not going to be basar b'chalav, they cook it together and everything. So that's not going to be basar b'chalav midoraisa, and you're allowed to get hanah from it. Because basar b'chalav dirabanan, you're allowed to get hanah from it, you're just not allowed to eat it. So, but basar b'chalav d'oraisa, you can't eat it, and you can't get hanah from it. So, therefore, if they make it with cow meat or another kosher animal and cow's milk, which is the case in some dog food companies, so now you have yourself a problem. If you, and most likely, it is a 99.999% chance they did not shecht that cow, right? That cow is definitely nevela. So the question is nevela Shaykh to basar b'chalav or not, right? When you have the cow that died of, you know, being, well, I think that's the way they do it now. They shoot it in the back of the, I think they shoot it in the brainstem with a, what? I think that's old school, super old school. That was big controversies in Europe. They wanted the Jews to stun the meat before shechting. Right? They used to stun the meat and then slaughter it. And they wanted to make that. That was big hawk pre-World War II, I think, in all the post-skim. Can you be matir? I think, if I recall correctly, that the Sridi Eish was matir stunning. B'dieved, he held it was still kosher. And that you shouldn't like make big stink to fight the government on that. Because most post-skim were, it was either the Sridi Eish or David Zvi Hoffman. I can't remember. One of the big, it was the Sridi Eish? Yeah, so I knew it was one of the big German post-skim. So he said you shouldn't make a big stink about it. It's not worth it. You could be makel on stunning. But I don't think any, nowadays stunning, it's all about what looks better. Right, that's, you should understand that shechita is still most likely the most humane. It just looks really gory, right? Because especially the way they do it, a lot of in some of the shechita places, they'll shecht it and then they'll quickly remove the arteries. They'll pull them out so that sometimes you guys ever seen like on YouTube one of these pita videos where they'll show a shechita and it looks just like awful, right? One of the reasons it looks so bad is that. If the arteries, they shecht the simanim. You only do rov simanim, right? So you don't have to, and you're not allowed to cut the whole head off. So when they shecht the behemah, so they shecht the rov simanim, and then if the arteries are still internal, then sometimes what you'll end up with these purple spots in the meat, like the blood will pool in certain areas, and even if after you get the blood out, you still have these bad-looking spots, and they can't really sell that meat. So some of the places, what they'll do is, as soon as the shechita is done, they'll like pull out the arteries so that they're exposed and they're able to shoot out the blood, and it doesn't go back. You know, it doesn't like I don't know what the word would be, but it doesn't get. There's no stoppages. There's no blockages, and therefore all the meat is viable and it's good looking meat and it's usable. And but when you're looking at that, if you don't know what you're looking at, it's really bad. You know, it's really like, wow, these are just barbarians. You know, like look at the blood, look at the, okay, listen, you know, animals are full of blood. What can I tell you? When you cut their throats, you will see blood. So, okay, I'm not personally a big human rights, not so big in human rights either, but definitely not big in animal rights. But I protested on Harambe's behalf, but more than that, I wasn't. So getting back to this, so they used to do shechitas, you know, like that, they would stun first, but then nowadays they do it in the back. I think they shoot it either with a peg or with just air. They just shoot it with like compressed air into the brainstem, and it severs the brainstem from the spinal cord. That doesn't necessarily kill the animal faster. And this is also secondhand knowledge. I think it actually kills the animal slower, but you can't tell because the animal can't move. So you don't see any twitching, you don't see any anything. It's just, it's out. Once you sever, if you know someone who's had an accident, then wherever the spinal cord gets severed, that's when the movement ceases. So if they cut off the brainstem from the rest of the body, you don't get a lot of post-death movement. But you're basically giving the animal a heart attack / respiratory failure / like it's not the best way to go. But it's the nicest looking way to go, and isn't that what counts? So therefore they have. So that's they do it differently nowadays, but Lamaisa, so they're not shechting these cows that they're using to make dog food, you know. So now it's nevela, and then you have this you have a machlokas rishonim. There's a Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos, the famous Nekuda Neflah. Anybody ever heard of this? Whatever. It involves words Isser Kolel and Isser Mosif. So for some reason or another, my brain shuts down when I hear things like Isser Kolel and Isser Mosif. I don't know why. I've never really properly grasped these concepts. But Sach HaKol, from the Rambam's Nekuda HaNeflah that he quotes in his Pirush Mishnayos on Chulin, so he writes that Nevela is not included in the Isser Basar V'Chalav, and it's basically in the same category as as Behemah Temeah, and therefore you're allowed to get Hanah from non-kosher dog food. Whereas And the Noda Bihuda in his notes on Shulchan Aruch called Dogomir Vava, he paskins like that Rambam, and he says, I didn't find anybody who argues. And some of the other Nosekelim and Shulchan Aruch point out, no, there is a Tosfos that argues, and there might be other Rishonim that argue as well. So the general minog, I think, is to be machmer l'chadchila, to try not to get dog food, try not to get hanah from basar v'chalav that was made with kosher animals, even if those animals weren't shechted. So I think that's the generally accepted psak, but I'm not 100% sure. Okay, that has nothing to do with anything. But it's just an example of what we call Dibra Kosev Behove, that the Torah is speaking about, it's just telling you the Metzias. Like in those days, you use a Gedi, right? Where do you get the Gedi's milk from? Because it's a nursing mother. So you're going to shech the Gedi, and where are you going to get your milk from? Well, the mom is nursing the Gedi. So it's all the same family. Nowadays, what do? We keep pumping the animals, so it's ki'ilu, it tricks the body into thinking that there's somebody nursing on the other end, when really the only one nursing on the other end is one of these machines. So it's a pump, whatever. Humans use them too. So it's a pump to get the milk out, and therefore once a cow has a baby, probably even one time, it's good for life. Maybe not, but you know, you keep it going with the pump, And therefore, you can constantly have milk. So we don't relate to this concept of Divra HaKasav Behoveh. Like, what does mother's milk have to do with, you know, what have to do with Basar B'Chalav on any animal? The answer is everything, right? It was very obvious to the Chacham and what the Torah was trying to say. But to us, who live in urban environments, we don't know from farming. And even the farmers know from modern farming, but they don't know from, you know, old school Talmudic farming and biblical farming. So okay, so it's not so obvious to them. But when we see the Gemara, we know what it's talking about. So here also, we're just having a case of Divrei HaKasav Behoveh, that the Torah is speaking about the probable case of why does it say V'amdu Shnei HaAnoshim? Because women don't come to court. Why not? Because Kol Kvud HaBas Melech Panima. It's nice when the women stay out of the spotlight. You know, so they're not interested in being in the spotlight. So that's what that was the Hava Min of the Gemara. So therefore, we also have the Gzeirah Shaveh. Therefore, we have, you know, Shnei Shnei. So therefore, we know that it's talking about Edim and not just talking about Nashim. Okay, so that is the way the Gemara wants to say it. Tosfos on this comment of Kol Kvud HaBas Melech Panima, V'yim Tomar Hashtanami Da'ayri Be'edim Minole Lema'utei Nashim. Ah, so now I have a great kasha, right? So once we say that it's just like a Dibra HaKasav Behoveh situation, that the Torah just wants to exclude women in Mitzi, we're not really saying that women can't do it, we're just saying either one or the other, that women didn't do it, or maybe even you could suggest that women shouldn't do it, right? Because that would be called Kvud HaBas Melech Panima. So then maybe they're really kasha l'edus too. It's just, the Torah says, V'amdu Shnei Ha'anashim, Dibra HaKasav Behoveh. That most Edim happen to be men, because women don't want to go out there and be Edim. They'd rather be out of the spotlight. So maybe that's the pshat. Very good kasha. Fine. Yesh Lomar, it's not a good kasha. The Gabe Edim, Al Korchach Tzrichin Lavo, De'ein Eid Mipi Eid, Kosher. If a woman knows Eidus, she has no choice, right? What's her other option? She can't, you know. Sometimes you have this week's parsha. It's very important. You saw this week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Anav Mikol Adam, right? So how do we generally associate Anav Mikol Adam? You know, you have a guy say, oh, you know, you're really fantastic. I'm not so good. You know, he doesn't stand up for himself. He's hunched over. He speaks in mumbles and he doesn't say much. You know, so Moshe Rabbeinu was challenged. You know, you don't have real authority. You took this all for yourself. This wasn't Min HaShemayim. And he says to Korach, all right, let's have a showdown in public. He doesn't have a choice, right? When the authority of even the greatest Anav of all time is challenged, you have to get out there and do it. So too in Isha, she's so tsanua, she's so modest, she's so humble, but she knows Eidus. So what's she going to say? Like, no, I don't want to go. It's not right. You know, okay, too bad it's not right. You got to be there. You got to do it. So therefore, She has no choice. She can't send another person to give her testimony on her behalf because that's an isser of aid me p'aid, hearsay. So he says, you can't do aid me p'aid. Avoladon yechol alim sartano se'abiyad acher. But to come to be judged, you're allowed to send someone else to do it for you. Tremendous chiddush. You're allowed to send someone else to do it for you. And this gets the ball rolling in the discussion of what are you allowed to ask someone else to do for you in Beis Din? What are you allowed to ask someone else to do? So can you just send all of your claims and not show up? Can you have someone, well, that seems to be what we're talking about over here, right? Can you have someone helping you? Can you have, this is all what we want to spend a little bit of time discussing. Okay, so issue number one that one might have with this, comment of Tosfos is there might be a separate issue and problem of trying to send your tainas with somebody else, right? We find in Bava Kamma a couple of times, and we have it in Bava Metzia, that there is a particular retort that the, you know, that one of the litigants can make if somebody who's unrelated to the case starts speaking up and trying to make tainas. What is that? What are we talking about over there? Right. Meaning the Gemara discusses. There's one on. What is it? Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. Yeah, there's one on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, and this also comes up earlier in Bava Kamma, and I think that's the parallel Gemara of in Bava Metzia Yedalid, where here. Where is it here? The Amri Naradoi Urkasa Delok Sivbe Zildon Uzhi the Apik Linafshach Lace Be Mashosha. So what on earth are we talking about over there? Some guy comes with an Urkasa, right? Doesn't sound like a very Hebrew word. What is it? He comes with a Shtar Harsha'a. Basically what we would call in English, I believe, a power of attorney. He comes with a power of attorney, which says that I am representing the Toveya. I'm coming here to be the Toveya and to say, I'm going to sue you for X amount of money because you did X, Y, and Z. So he has this shtar. But what is essential to be in this shtar? It has to say about this guy who's coming to court, Zil Don Uzhi. Go out there, win the case, right? Va'apik l'nashah, and take the money for yourself. Meaning, it's real, full-on power of attorney that you are me, and if you win, you make money, not me. Right? That was what they were telling the guy. You get to be the Toveya here, and if you win, you are the winner. I'm not the winner. You are. Right? It's almost like, you know, you have the case of Shlichus. We'll talk about whether this has to do with Shlichus or not. But it's like you have the case of Shlichus in Kiddushin, where the guy tells the Shliach, go be Mekadesh me and Isha. And what does the Shliach go ahead and do? He's Mekadesher for himself. Right? So that's not good Shlichus. So here, the harsha, whether or not it's midin shlichus, the harsha has to be, you go out there, and if you win, you win. Right? Why is that necessary? Right? Why is that necessary? And if it doesn't say that, it's not good. Why not? My time, mishum da amar le, heich, lav bal dvarim didi at. Because the other guy could say that you are not my baldover. I have nothing to do with you. Why are you even here talking to me? You're suing me? I don't even know who you are. You can't sue somebody. You can't try to be Toveya money from somebody else if you have nothing to do with the case. And then they go through a couple of possible qualifications. Amar Abai, the iksiv be lemechza, leshlish, leravia, migu de mishtoi dina, apalga mishtoi dina a kula. right? Okay, he doesn't have to be able to win all of it, right? Nowadays, you have a lot of, when I was a kid, my friend's father used to have commercials on TV. Local TV, like Channel 9, Channel 11, Alan Rothenberg. He has no, I don't know if he's, does it anymore. I don't know. He was a, whatever, personal injury attorney, I think. You know, so they, so he used to have a thing, and I think most injury lawyers do this, is that we only make money if you make money. We make a certain percentage, you know, of the winnings. We don't get paid a flat rate. I think if you, you know, obviously if you go to a hush of a law firm and you hire, you know, you hire one of these big-time law firms to do your class action suit or something, they're getting paid by the hour. But if you're a small-time guy and you were injured in, you know, due to somebody else's negligence, so you can't afford to pay a lawyer. So the lawyer says, don't worry, I'll win, and I'll take whatever percentage of the winnings. So that's what we're saying over here also. He doesn't have to have access to the full amount. He just has to have access to a percentage, and then once he gets a percentage, he gets to be considered a bal davar for the case, right? And not only that, he doesn't even necessarily have to have a percentage. We find this in the Gemara earlier on, and we also find it in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where, let's say you have a case of Reuven sells a field to Shimon Be'achrayus. Anybody remember what? I don't think I put it on the Maamar Makomos, but I don't really know why. I think I have it on my notes, though, where it is. No, I'm saying the one in the earlier in Bava Kam, I was just being lazy and trying not to turn to a new Masechta. It's early on in in Bava Kama. It's like on the Daf Zion area. Maybe not. Whatever. Basically the case is where, oh, here it is. Reuven Shemachar, right, so he says it's Chesem and Beis. So, Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachar sadeh l'Shimon ba'achrayis. Reuven sells a field to Shimon with achrayis. V'asa balchov de Reuven v'taraf mishimon. And then balchov of Reuven is coming and taking away from Shimon. Dino de azil Reuven u'mishtoi dina b'hadeh. Reuven is now allowed to come and start making tainas against the Balchov to try to prevent him from seizing Shimon's newly bought field. Meaning, Shimon owes money in an unrelated manner to Mr. Balchov. Then Shimon goes ahead and buys a field from Reuven, but it's Be'achrayus, which means that if the field somehow gets taken away, so then, if it somehow gets taken away due to a chov that was on Reuven, then he has to reimburse him. It's basically as insurance, you know, which happens in those days. Nowadays, whenever you sell anything in America, you have to sign 1,000,001 documents that say there are no liens on the property. But back in the day, if you sold a field and there was a lien on it, so the person could come and take it, and take it away even from the buyer, because they'll say you had no right to sell it in the first place. And then this person, generally speaking, there was a chrayus on a sale. The person had insurance, and then you would have to reimburse him for the field that was seized. So we say over here, Reuven sells a field to Shimon Bachrayus. And the Balchov of Reuven then comes to Shimon and says, hey, Reuven had no right to sell you that field. I'm taking it away. So Reuven is now allowed to come to the case, Balchov versus Shimon, and start making tainas why the Balchov should not be getting that field. So the Balchov is going to, and the Balchov is not allowed to say to Reuven, La bal dvarim didi at. Why? Because Reuven could say back to the Balchov, hey, this affects me. If you win and you get to take it from Shimon, I have to reimburse him. So I'm part of this case. So that's case number one. Fine, that's not much of a chiddush. But then gets a little more mechudishtik. And the Gemara continues. V'ika da amri, those who say, afilu shel lo b'achrayis. Reuven sells the field to Shimon. Right? Why would you ever buy anything shel lo b'achrayis? Just metzias. Why would you ever buy anything shel lo b'achrayis? Right, you get a better deal. Right? If you buy something without insurance, it's usually cheaper than when you buy something with insurance. So So he buys it shelo b'achrayus. And then Baal Chov comes and starts to take it away from Shimon. And Shimon's thinking, I knew it was too good to be true. Why would I ever buy anything shelo b'achrayus? So then Reuven is allowed to go and make tainas against the Baal Chov here too. Why? Says the Gemara, de Amar Lei, lo nichali de tehave le Shimon tarumes alai. I don't want Shimon to have anger issues against me. I don't want him to be able to complain to me and say, you sold me a field that you knew was going to be seized and you're a bad guy. And there's actually a halachic category called taromis that you can't collect financially on it, but you have legitimate reason to have official beef with the guy who sold it to you. Like that's considered a valid thing. Normally, you're supposed to be mochel people right away, and you're supposed to say, we did business together last time. It didn't work out exactly right, but that's never going to stop me from doing business with you again. You know, I still trust you in the future. However, if something like this happens, the halacha is you're allowed to have taromis against him, and next time he wants to do a deal with you, you're allowed to say, no, I don't deal with you anymore. And you're not considered to be bearing a grudge. You're not considered to be, doing something wrong, b'inam l'chavero, because he did mess you over last time, and that's he didn't. He's not considered to have dealt with you properly, to the extent that you now are allowed to harbor the grudge of the previous business deal and have it affect you. Okay, so this is the idea also that we have at lav bal dvarim didi at. Right, you are not part of this case, and therefore you have no right to speak up on someone else's behalf. Only when you officially have something to do with the case, and you stand to lose financially or gain financially, or you stand to lose, in terms of your reputation or future business propositions, do you? But if you're stam, a lawyer off the street, or somebody like that, or you're stam a shaliach of the person who sends you to Beis Din, you have no right to get involved. So that's issue number one that Tosfos seems to be ignoring. Tosfos seems to say that you don't have to worry about this, and a woman is allowed to send a shaliach to Beis Din, and it's not a problem. Okay, so that's issue number one. What about not being a baldover, right? And in fact, but I didn't give you this in the Mara Makomos because in general I try to have rachmanis on people and not send them to too many balamors and mochamas. So there is a balamor and mochamas on the sugya in Bava Kama and Daf Ayin that if you get a chance to look in the Rishimos, Rabbi Reichman's notes on Rav Soloveitchik's shiurim, so he's mitzayin that machlokas between the balamor and the Ramban. The balamor says, what is the status of this Mursha, of this person who comes with the power of attorney? What is the halachic mechanism that makes him go? So the Baal Amor says, it's a regular din of shlichus. It's shlichus. You're allowed to send a shaliach. We have a rule, shlucho shel adam kemoso. You're allowed to send a shaliach to be mekadesh your wife. You're certainly allowed to send a shaliach to sue somebody. And therefore, he says it's a regular din of works we call shlichus, and the Ramban rejects the notion of shlichus in the Milchamas because he says this person can't be just a shliach because a shliach's not a baldover, and a baldover and a non-baldover is not allowed to speak up on behalf of the actual litigants in the case. And the guy can reject him and say, you're not a baldover here, you have no reason to be involved. So that's actually the Ramban's reason for saying that it's not real shlichus. He says that because that would be a problem of lav bal dvarim didi. Okay? So that is issue number one. Then we have issue number two. What's issue number two going to be over here? It might be against the Torah. Right? Okay, that's solid. You don't want to be against the Torah. What do I mean by against the Torah? So the Mishnah in Maseches Makos discusses the issue of not in this volume of what's the lashon al pi shnayim edim, right? So we say, what does it mean al pi shnayim edim shelo yehei abezin shomas mipi ameturgaman? We don't want the bezin to have to hear through a translator, right? We know back in the day the you know, back in the good old days, Yosef HaTzadik, the Medrash says, was able to put one over on Paro. Why? Spoke more languages, right? Spoke more languages than Paro. All right, it's kind of cool, but like, what's the big milah of speaking lots of languages? And so too, who was the other hero of the Jews who spoke many languages? Mordechai. Right, he was able to save Achashverosh because Big Son and Seresh were speaking in a language that was not local to the, you know, to the people living in Shushan Abira, and therefore they thought they'd get away with it. And you know, they didn't think Mordechai spoke Pig Latin, so they knew, they didn't realize that Mordechai understood them, and because he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin has to know many, many languages in order to avoid this problem of Shelo Yehei Beizin Shomas Mipiyam Turgaman, that we don't want the Beizin to have to listen to a translator. And that is specifically talking about who? I mean, in the Torah, who's it talking about?
Edom,
right? So it's talking about Edom, that's very nice, but why should that have anything to do with this? Why should that have anything to do with our case over here? Right. So the Ritva over there quotes that there's a machlokes Rishonim as to who this who are we referring to? Are we referring to only Edim, or are we referring to Bali Dinim as well? Is this a machlokes on a level of drusha? No. So what's the basis of this machlokes? What? Right. Meaning, it's not a drusha that we say al pishnai meidim yakum davar. So therefore we say the beis is not allowed to listen to a meturgaman for the edus. If you just say it's a strict din of gzeiras hakasuv, that's how we learn it. So then okay, it's only going to be talking about edim. But if you say what, that it's really a theme, the Torah is developing a message here for you that you're not allowed to listen to anyone who speaks through an intermediary. You're not listen to anybody speaking through a meturgaman, because why? What's wrong with it? Maybe there's so many issues. Number one, you want to have open lines of communication, right? A lot of times, the dayanim will know something that's essential, something is essential to the case, when in reality, the Bali Din don't know that this is important. And the Bali Din will speak Mesiach Lefitumo, they'll speak, you know, just in a matter-of-fact way that they're telling their story, and they will let certain details go that the Meturgaman might deem inappropriate, not necessary. And he won't say them over. So they're going to be missing details of the case. There are things that are completely lost in translation because every single language has its own slang and every single language has its own phrases that make sense in that language alone, right? This, I mean, just in the Gemara, you see certain things. Like we say, what does nafka mina mean, right? My nafka mina. So in English we say, what's the practical difference? But that is not the translation of the words, my nafka mina. The translation of the words of my nafka mina is what comes out of it. Right? So, okay, that's no big deal. But then we have things like Hachi Hashta. Right? How do you translate Hachi Hashta?
This now.
This now. All right, so that's not anything, right? that's not an English phrase. This now? It means, so in English we say it's a faulty comparison. Hachi Hashta, it's a faulty comparison. I don't know what it really meant in Aramaic. I know what it means for our purposes of learning the Gemara. This is what I know when the Gemara says Hachi Hashta, this is the message that I'm supposed to be receiving. But, or inami, if also, right? We don't say if also, right? You know, a lot of times you can tell, if you're in Israel, you can tell who grew up in an American home but is really Israeli, even if they speak with a perfect American accent, and who didn't, because they'll let certain things slip, like, or I'm going to go upstairs, or I'm going to go downstairs, right? So they, because in Hebrew, that's how they do it. But in English, we don't do or. We say either or we just say one or. It's just the issue of the slang that is different and it's specific to those languages. Now, I don't think anything I just said is going to be relevant in a court of law, but I'm sure there are many things that would be. And in terms of, you know, nowadays, the words, for example, in Hebrew nowadays, what does chaval al azman mean? It means a waste of time, but it also means great, right? When I was in Israel, chaval al azman meant bad. Now, chaval al azman means great. So if you don't speak the language, you don't know what chaval al azman means. And that's, you know, the translator will translate waste of time, right? Maybe the guy meant to say it was great. So again, it's a problem. You're going to have an issue not understanding the Tainas, and you might miss out on something which is essential that the translator might mess up, or the translator might deem irrelevant. And really, it's very, very important. So that's one issue. And then we had, you know, there's an exception to the rule. It's only necessary for the Dayanim to be able to do what? It's only necessary in the case of Rava. Rava had a Meturgamon, right? So Gemara asks, how could Rava have had a Meturgamon? So the answer was, because Rava was like many Americans. He understood Hebrew. I mean, he probably spoke Hebrew also. But he understood Hebrew. He just didn't speak Hebrew, right? I used to speak Hebrew, but I haven't been to Israel, you know, in the last 13 years, I've been to Israel for a total of about a week. Two times, you know, one weekdays and one weekend. So I just don't get an opportunity to speak a lot of Hebrew anymore. So my understanding is a little worse, but my speaking is way worse because I don't speak. So if you don't practice, you don't know. You need to be in practice of doing these types of things, no matter what Allen Iverson claims. So but the bottom line is you have to know how to speak it. You don't have to know how to speak it if you're going to be a Dayan. Rava wasn't able to issue the Psak Din based on his own knowledge of the language, but he understood it perfectly, and therefore he was willing to listen to the litigants. And that's one of the rayas that many of the, because it seems from that Gemara that they're dafka talking over there about the litigants, not that they're talking about the Eidim in such a case. Because otherwise, why would Rava be Mamed a Meturgamon to speak to the Eidim? Who cares what the Eidim Who cares what the Eidim say? So obviously we're talking about the Bali Din over there who didn't speak the language. What?
You'd ask the Eidim questions.
For sure. But it seems...
The Yudkin they're making is just also the comment, not from...
What?
The Yudkin they're making isn't from that they had a term when they talked to them. It's also the comment. It sounds like it's talking about Bali Din.
That's the deal.
That's what the original said.
Uh-huh. My mistake then. I thought it was Dafka because why would he... I believe you. I didn't look at it this morning. Did I see it anywhere? I guess not. Sorry about that. All right, I'll check it out just to be sure. So you say that it's not because he.
It sounds like the Asulakame.
Saying Asulakame and therefore.
The Baladin and
Is that because of Asulakame sounds like Baladin? Okay. Could be. I mean, probably. Sorry. So either way, the Rishonim are medayik from that comment of the Gemara, the case of Rava, that it's probably talking about the Bali Dinim as well. Not necessarily because that's what it means by Va'amdu Shnei Anashim, Shalei Bezin Shamas, Mikur HaTurgamim, is Dafka talking, I'm sorry, Al Pi Shnayim Edim, is Dafka talking about Bali Dinim and Edim. It's just that why would it apply differently? The Chacham understood that yes, the Torah is talking about Edim, but the reason why it would apply to Edim obviously applies to the Bali Dinim as well, and there's no reason to differentiate between the two. So this makes for a major discussion in our sugya. Maybe that's a really important reason to not allow anyone else besides the Bali Dinim themselves to speak. So let's take a look at, it gave you a lot of Rishonim who, and this is the derech of the Chachmei Sfarad, they oftentimes say a lot of the same things. So it gave you a lot of Rishonim who say a lot of the same things, but I thought it was nice to get a picture, also because there's a little bit of a stira in the words of the Rashba, so I figured at least we see the Chedusha Rashba by us, but you have the Ran and the Ramban and the Ritva and the Rashba, they all dance around the same basic opinions, I forgot to get my... Let me just take a look at my Ramban for one second. Um, Okay, sorry about that. So, first of all, he quotes, they all quote from Rabbeinu Yosef Halevi Ibn Migash, right? The Rimigash had a psak that he attributes to the Rif as well, which was that, and listen to this, it's a nice thing to hear. Because of Arav Alevizal, the Mehacha Shaminon, the Nashim Yikaros, the Islu Dina, right? Are precious women. Again, you have to remember, and I'm not saying this to be political, but the Rishonim, I mean, sometimes people will say, like, why did the Gemara sometimes says derogatory things about women? Why do you see the Rishonim sometimes say derogatory things about women? I believe the answer is that, I've heard people say something more extreme than this. I'll give you the answer that I don't know that is true, but I've heard a somewhat reliable individual say that the publishers of the Gemara never thought that any non-rabbis would be reading it. They thought only rabbis would be reading, only Talmidei Chachamim would be reading the Gemara. And therefore they would understand the concept of a melitza and the concept of, you know, when you make certain comments, how they're meant to be taken. And that's why you find a lot of derogatory comments against Amei Haaretz, and that's why you find a lot of... All right, that's a theory. You can debate it, whatever. But I believe very strongly that no Tanoim, Amoraim, or Rishonim thought that any women would ever be reading what they wrote. And I think that if they really thought that women were going to be reading it, they probably would have written it a little differently. But nevertheless, that's how they wrote it. But that works in the flip side too. Meaning, when you see something like this quoted from the Rimigash, he didn't have an agenda there either. He wasn't trying to, you know, make the feminist, you know, community feel better by writing something like this. He wrote it because he meant it, right? And he says, "What's the idea of Kol Kvud Bas Melech Penima?" Right? De Mehacha Shamina De Nashim Yikaros, our precious women. The Islu Dina, they have a case, they have a judge, you know, they have to be judged. Lo mezalzalinan bula mesei leBeis Din. We don't disgrace them by making them come to Beis Din. Meaning it's not trying to keep them down by not letting them come to Beis Din. And we know that we do let them. Because in the next Amud, we have a very chashuva woman who came to Beis Din. But we don't force them to come to Beis Din because we would consider that disgraceful. So it's very, I think that's something very yesodistic to keep in mind, that even though nowadays telling a woman that she doesn't have to come to Beis Din or she's putter from it or whatever, that would be considered derogatory, the Rishonim did not consider that derogatory. They considered it just the opposite. Because we respect you, because we consider you to be precious, we will not force you to do it. I just think it's an important thing to notice. Ella mishadrinan luhu al yidei shluche Beis Din, right? And then he says the bisu de Ravuna, Ravuna's wife, lo ratzta shim no shliach, v'ilu ratzta rishus biyada. She didn't want to send the shliach. She wanted to go to Beis Din, and therefore she went. Va'omer shekeno yadan rabo rabenu Yitzchak, and says the Rimigash, my Rebbe the Rif also used to do this. They used to send a shaliach, or they'd allow the women to do something, although as we'll see later on, it's not so clear-cut what they allowed and what they didn't allow. It wasn't just like Tosfos that says that you could send a shaliach and everybody will accept that. The Ramban doesn't buy it. He says, Ve'ein zu raya l'din zeh, v'nei sheyesh lomar delo kaima amaskana. So problem number one the Ramban has with it is a little bit strange. Problem number one is, that's not the maskana sagamara. Meaning, you want to issue a psak because the Gemara said kol kvud bas melech penima, we don't force women to come to Beis Din, so you want a paskin, they don't have to come to Beis Din. But that's not the maskana of the Gemara. The Gemara rejects that thought. Right? The Gemara said, v'chi tema, shot in the pasuk is that we're only talking about men because women don't have to come to Beis Din because kol kvud bas melech penima, or when I say divrei Torah, divrei hakasa behove, that we don't, you know, most of the people found in Beis Din are men. Right? So That's not the pshat, because we have the gzeiras shaveh of, right, shnei. So says the Ramban, the maskanas ha-gemara is that's not really a thing. Women not coming to Beis Din was rejected. You hear? You buy it? It's a little iffy, because that's not necessarily what was rejected. Meaning, whenever the Gemara rejects a Hava Mina, you have to ask, what do we keep and what do we throw away? So it's not hard to, for the Rimigash and the Rif to respond, yeah, we rejected that's shot in the Pasuk. So I don't have a Pasuk in Chumash that tells me, don't make the women come to Beis Din. But the concept of Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima is clearly a legitimate concept, and therefore women not coming to Beis Din should be viewed in a positive light from the Gemara. It just so happens to be not what the Torah was talking about in that Pasuk. You understand? So Ramban says, you can't bring any rayas from a pshat in the pasuk, meaning, so it's almost like the Ramban says, the only place I would have known that women shouldn't come to Beis Din, and that Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima says it should be learned that way, is from the fact that it says, Vamdu Shnei Anashim, and maybe that means women don't come to Beis Din. And that's pshat in Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima. And the Rimi Gash says, no, I know Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima anyway. And then that manifests itself, that might, you know, that it almost got us to learn a pasuk a certain way. Now, in the end, we didn't learn the pasuk that way, but the only reason we're going to learn the pasuk that way is because we know about this concept. Does that make any sense to people? It's a very simple understanding, a very simple differentiation between where the Gemara was starting from and where the Gemara ended up with, where the Gemara ended up, right? So, in the end of the day, is it a good thing for women not to come to Beis Din according to the first answer of the Ramban? Well, according to the first answer of the Ramban, not really. Not really. That was a havamin in the Gemara, that it's nice for women not to come to Beis Din. But, you know, we rejected that havamin and we say they should come to Beis Din. Right? And then he could say, Haraya de Bisud Rav Huna. Rav Huna's wife came to Beis Din. You're better than Rav Huna's wife. Right? Not so fast. So that could be the Ramban. And the Rimi Gash would say, no, we rejected the concept that we're supposed to read a pasuk differently because we already know that it's not so good for women to come to Beis Din. It's not because we learned from the pasuk that women shouldn't come to Beis Din. We knew they shouldn't come to Beis Din before, but we stomp. You know, we were ready to say that's shot in the pasuk. So, all right, Kamash Malan is not shot in the pasuk. But the concept has been Komo Omedes, so it's not, you know, okay, whatever. Not the biggest deal in the world, because he has another reason to reject it. And he says, V'od de dil mahachi ka'amar, ein derech anashim lovel abezin, mishum delav kivodon hu. Right? It's not that, it wasn't normal for women to come to Beis Din because it wasn't nice. Okay, so it's not nice to force women to come to Beis Din, but that's not a halachic concept that we can rely on. Right? It just wasn't, they didn't used to come to Beis Din a lot. But that doesn't mean that we should make takanas and things like that that say that they don't have to come to Beis Din. Fine. He says, but in the end of the day, Elishikvar Hora Harav, the Kibla Mirabo, Lefi Mashaheyed Arav Zal. He says, I'm not going to start a fight with the established practices of the Rimi Gash and the Rif. If they want to allow this, I will allow it as well, because, you know, I'm not willing to ruin the whole precedent and to say that, that we're going to throw it away. Fine. And then he goes further and he says, there's a big machlokis Rishonim in general. What about regular people? Right? Can a person make a shliach to make tainas on his behalf? Can a person make a shliach to make tainas on his behalf in Beis Din? And he has a big raya from the Yerushalmi. What's the big raya from the Yerushalmi? Right. Kohen Gadol, right? We had a discussion. Kohen Gadol dana noso. You're allowed to be dana Kohen Gadol. Right? That's the whole the Mishnah that lists off. Can you be dana Kohen Gadol? Can you be dana Melech? Right? So we said, according to the Shita, that you can be Dan, a Kohen Gadol, we ask Akasha, V'yimna Antlar, let him appoint, and I don't know what you want to call an antler in English, I don't know what the word is, but let him have a Morsha, let him have some kind of a representative. And then the Rishami says, Hagei Atzmacha, Mischayev Shvua V'Antler Nishba? What? So you're gonna be down the Kohen Gadol. He's gonna send a representative. The representative is gonna be Modi B'Miktsas. And now the guy is gonna be Chayev to swear Shvuas Modi B'Miktsas. How can he swear? He wasn't there. It wasn't his thing. So, what's the pshat? So we say Alma Matzi L'Shavuye Shliach. You're allowed to send the Shliach to Beis Din. It's just that you're gonna have a technical problem. He's not gonna be able to take a Shvua, right? So you see that. You're allowed to send the shliach to Beis Din, but you might run into some technical difficulties. Rav Nassan, Bala Aruch, Kach Kasav, he quotes from the Aruch, Neha Shamina, Diyachal Anitpa, Lemnuye Antlar, V'chein Rabbeinu Chananel, right, we learn from this Yerushalmi that you're allowed to do it. V'ika Depalik, Abamra Eina Rashai, Shalote Sanhedri, Shomas V'piyah Matur Gaman, Tainos Shel Sheker. Right, says there are those who disagree, and they say all you're going to do is you're going to hire people who know how to lie. That's why we don't allow people to put an intermediary over there, and because the maturgama might be telling lies. V'hasa mishum yikra de kohen gadol v'shalol v'zoso dechsev v'kidash to chen kasev rabbeinu agadol b'tshuvosa she'ein anit barashai limnos shaliach v'chein nimtza b'tshuvos rabbeinu sadya go. So he quotes that, and then he throws it in. The nitpa is not allowed to appoint a shaliach. He's not allowed to send someone to Beis Din on his behalf. V'chein anashim yikaros. I'm sorry, v'chein anashim. Afilu yikaros b'din zeh. Right? It says, even our beautiful, dear women, we don't allow them to do this. V'lo vita len rabbeinu. What did the rif really allow? What did he really allow? The shager len shluchei Beis Din kegon sofrei dayanim v'litlon mipiyem. Right, we would send shluchim of the Beis Din to take their statements. We would send someone to their house. We wouldn't make them schlep into court and stand there and give speeches in open court. We would send the court to them, and we would take their statement.
And
shluchei Beis Din. So the woman wouldn't send a lawyer or a representative to court on her behalf. The Beis Din would go to her, or somebody representing the Beis Din would go to her. No, so the Ramban is within the opinion that we don't allow, again, he stresses the nitpa. We don't allow the nitpa to send someone on his behalf, right? And even if it's, and the Rif allowed a woman to do it, so he says, and we allowed the Kohen Gadol to do it, so we say, no. That was only out of covet for him. And even a woman, we don't want to make her stand up there in open court and embarrass herself, but we will send a real shliach Beis Din to her and make it an official statement that she has to offer on her behalf, not just send somebody else who's going to start, you know, saying things that we don't really know. Can't give over your tainus to other people, right? Let's say you have a particular Talmud Chacham who really never stops learning. He really is, that's not the only way to translate Torah Som Nuso, but based on the Gemara and Shabbos, I think it's the Gemara and Shabbos on Yadav, where they, I think it was Rava, who said, like, nah, that was Rabbi Yochanan, so we're talking about the Are You Mafsik for Kriyashma and for Tefillah. So he said, nah, it was only Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his chaverim, they were Torason Umnason, they were real masmidim. They actually sat and learned properly, so they didn't have to be masik, he says, but we're not such Torasenu Umnasenu so much. We're not such big masmidim, you know, because we all don't want to be such big badwanim like Rava, you know. So we're talking about levels of levels. You know, so Tarasu Umnuso, the Ramban wasn't talking about Rishon BaYochai, wasn't talking about Rava, but he was talking about people who really used their time to its utmost. And he says, we don't force them to come to court. We don't force them to come to court. Rather, Vizila Be Milso, Lamezil Gabe Dayana, La'arir Bahade Amaoritz, he's going to have to come out there and argue with some Amaoritz who's suing him, Sherashon Bezin Lashagar Lodvaram Aideh, Shaluche Bezin Dechvod Torah Adif, out of Kavod HaTorah. We'll discuss this topic more. We'll discuss this topic more in terms of, do you make a Talmud Chacham come in front of a Beis Din that might not be on his level, right? The Gemara has cases where Talmud Chachamim refused to go to a Beis Din because they were bigger Talmud Chacham than Dayanim. It was considered a disgrace to have to stand in this guy's court. Anyway, but he says, in the end of the day, we still send representatives of the Beis Din. Ugnayu Lefichach. So he says, we would send Shluchei Beis Din the Kvod HaTorah Adif, Ava Kohen Gadol, Afilu Zeh, Gnai Hulo, Lefichach Mana Angler. But a Kohen Gadol, even just to make him give a formal statement, was not respectful, and therefore we would send an Angler, B'divrei Rav, Shel Burgluni, Zal, Siyua, Lamashik Asadnu. I'm not sure what he's referring to. What's the Siyua from the Rav of Burgluni? But he says that there's rise to what I'm saying. So basically, the Ramban rejects the concept of, again, he rejects the concept of the Nitba appointing a shaliach or an antler to give over tainas on his behalf. And he has, he says that we don't want to have to give over possible tainas of sheker, and it could be, you know, it could be against the Torah, and therefore we're not willing to allow the nitba to appoint somebody. In all the cases where it seems like we allow it, like by an isha, Tosvos clearly says she could send the shliach. Ramban says she cannot send the shliach, but she can give a formal statement in front of Shluchei Beis Din in her own home if she so chooses, but obviously she's allowed to come to court. Okay, so next time we'll talk about the shita of the Ritva, who argues generally the Ritva tries not to take on the Ramban too often, but here he does take on the Ramban. And then we will try to bring it down to the halacha lemaisa of can you have tohanim in the modern day batei din? Okay. We'll have early shiur tomorrow.